Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, back again as always with your co-host, Chris Coles. Coulson, Chris, say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
I am officially 3 years dry from alcohol. In the spirit of that fact, the year of the comeback is almost over, so I wanted to throw some inspirational material up front at anyone who may need it to kick shit into high gear this final couple months of 2020. Like I said on Monday, if Bill Chungus can quit drinking Chungus fuel, then you can quit whatever you need to quit. You can add whatever you need to add and live life as a human who is proud of themselves, which is the only way to live, speaking as someone who did the opposite for quite some time. I am holding up my end of the bargain for the year of the comeback, though, despite all opposition. You have 2 full months to come back from whatever it is holding you down to change your life and make it better in this shitstorm of a calendar year. You've got this. More work to do. Let's go. Here is my resume, though. 2020 has not just been another year dry from alcohol for me. I made a comeback from a broken relationship, a failed marriage, had to recover my own identity, really, from that broken place. That's kind of what happens when you have a relationship go awry after, like, X amount of years. You're so tethered to that person that you really have to untether to get yourself back. It's something, probably the hardest task I had to face this year,
and one
that I'm still working on.
You were the tetherball wrapped up against the pole, and you had to unwind yourself
exactly.
And become free.
Exactly. Also, as I announced on Monday, I'm going to be back behind a self-driving wheel of a car in a matter of weeks after not driving for many months and not driving consistently all year, and really not driving long distance consistently since I was literally 20 years old. So I can't wait. 2021 is going to be my swan song. I wish I was confident in what I think swan song means. What else? I built Bolin Media out of the abyss. Solo dolo. Brought my number two and your beloved co-host, Chris Coulson, in this July. And he's been killing it as our co-host ever since.
Hello. That's me.
That is Chris
Coulson.
Hello. Also, I'm in the best shape of my life. In real talk, people say that all the time, right? But the only time that I could even compare would be high school. And in high school, I was still drinking like a fish and ripping cigs and lines and whatnot, so surely I'm in better shape now. As since July, it's been RossFit, hashtag RossFit, with Coles and I 3 times a week in the garage, and we're rolling.
May I add, you've aged like fine wine, Ross.
Thank you. I've been given some creams and lotions.
Better by the day. Better by the day.
If you're a male, because women know this, women know generally much better how to take care of their themselves in general, I would
yes.
say, arguably. But especially when it comes to like hygiene and like skincare.
Yep.
White dudes especially, we don't know shit about this.
No.
You eventually have to meet somebody who will walk you down the path of how to like take care of your face.
A woman one time told me that every straight guy at some point, usually in their early 20s, goes through a relationship in which that woman turns you from a boy into a man that can actually take care of yourself. And that was the sole purpose of that relationship.
I've brought this up before, but I dated a girl in college who was like, she noticed I was showering twice a day.
Yeah.
And I was washing my hair both times.
Nice. Not
a shitty ass 2-in-1. Okay. I always hated those.
Okay.
But you know,
yeah.
It wasn't Hawthorne, I'll put it that way.
Sure.
And she was like, "What the shit are you doing? This dries out your skin and your hair and is terrible for you." And I was like, "What is? What books?" She was like, "You're showering twice a day."
On like
psychopath.
Probably like steaming hot water on your skin, just
hottest water I
yeah.
could do.
Yeah.
That's 14 showers a week.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, your skin, your body is supposed to only go through like three max.
A woman had to teach me this.
Yeah. I mean, a woman one time, the first girl that I dated in college also got me like sulfate-free shampoo and conditioner that like actually took care of my head, that wasn't just like cheap dollar, you know, shampoo.
Hawthorne.co.
Yeah, use that as well.
Code RBP.
Also,
not
moisturizer.
A sponsor, for the record.
Also, let me just say, if you tell a girl, if you're in your early 20s as a male and you're interested in a girl and you tell her at night that you just completed your skincare routine, just work that in there, guarantee you that's a bonus point for you.
Do you tell her because you've done it though, right?
Well, yes, obviously. You don't lie.
Uh-huh. That's
if you're not doing it, she'll be able to tell. You'll have that greasy ass skin. You don't want that. She'll see right through it. You can't lie to a woman about skincare. Are you kidding me?
No, you can't. You can't. But the point is this. The year of the comeback is rolling. We are back. We are coming. It's the year of the comeback. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't grind, you don't shine. Let's get it. It's time to fuck. And on that note, RBP 344 is brought to you by Blue Chew.
Bam.
Transit. Every guy has performance issues at some point in their life. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's a stigma that is stupid and denying so many men a happy sex life. So boom, BlueChew.com. Make sure you're confident and able to perform at another level every time. It's time to visit Pound Town. No matter what stage of life or relationship you're in, the chewables at BlueChew.com provide something that's already good, make something that's already good sex even freaking better. And who doesn't want to be confident every time it's time to make sex? Go to BlueChew.com now, son. It's the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. This stuff is cheaper than those other two, so this is a no-brainer. Basically, if you like making sweet, passionate love without a care in the world because your meat is shining brighter and harder than a diamond, you'll like BlueChew.com. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician consult is free, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. A lot of people take performance enhancements for other areas of their life, health, looks, working out, etc. Why wouldn't you do the same for in the bedroom? It makes no sense. Don't let a bad day affect what should be the best part of your day with your partner, parentheses, sex, in parentheses. Don't bring the stress of the outside world into the bedroom at BlueChew.com. You get the first chewables with the active ingredients, sildenafil or tadalafil, I don't know, same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. That's what matters. The chewables from BlueChew.com are made in the USA, and discreet packaging means no nosy neighbor or mailman knows what you're getting in the mail. They have affiliated physicians who work with you to find the dosage and active ingredient that is best for you. Blue Chew has a phenomenal offer for the boys and men of the RBP gang. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code RBP. Just pay $5 in shipping and it's hard dicks the rest of 2020, baby. That's BLUE Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code RBP. And now it is time for some announcements and shouts. I'm wearing glasses today, so I'm smarter than usual. Happy birthday to Amanda Mashinsky. And thanks for all the support. YouTube.com/BolinMedia is where you can watch our show if you don't just want to listen. And you can see our shining faces as we wave into the camera. Hello, YouTube.com/BolinMedia. Also, we're live on Twitch.tv/BossRolin a few times a week. Speaking of seeing our shining faces, playing Warzone. The new Zombies version of Call of Duty is fucking terrifying and incredible. We also play Among Us and Fall Guys with podcast listeners. Come through twitch.tv/BossRolin and you will see that we are live a few times a week, Chris and I, playing the funnest video games the world has to offer with podcast listeners. Coles, you have a shout.
I do. Shouts to Jack Hamlin. Happy 21st birthday. It's tomorrow. I hope you enjoy it, brother. Your
Jack
buddy
Weiss? What'd you say?
Jack Hamlin.
Oh, Jack Hamlin.
Also known as Hambone. Your buddy Nick reached out, wanted you to have a very happy birthday. Thanks for the support on the pod, man.
Enjoy. And now it's time for our first segment. Ghost story time with Ross and Chris.
Ooh, spooky.
Hashtag creepy month. Halloween is upon us. So I thought today Chris and I would each pick a scary ghost story to share with the gang. Did you make yours up? Did you sit down and write a ghost story?
Yeah, I did write a ghost story.
Based on one you were told as a child?
So I was told this story or something similar when I was in... I only remember the punchline of this story from when I was in fifth grade.
Oh,
and
no.
So I took the punchline.
This is how my mom tells jokes, dude, and it never ends well. She only remembers the punchline, and she doesn't know how to get there.
I remember the punchline, and I did my best to recreate everything leading up to it, so I hope it goes well. We'll see. We're about to find out.
My mom's catching heat the last couple pods. I love you, Mom. Thanks for everything.
Also, you locked her out of the car and left her at the gas station.
Yeah, that was for content, though. Mm-hmm. She's team content. She gets it.
Sure.
She gets it.
She didn't look
I didn't make mine up, just for the record. I pulled mine from Reddit. As everybody knows, Reddit is the number one best place in the world to gather ghost stories from the world. and the internet. Pull the classic off of Reddit. If you need to scare the shit out of yourself at any point this Halloween, just pull up Reddit and you'll pee the bed. I'm going to share mine first, then I'll let you do your weird childhood recollection that hopefully ends with you successfully getting to the punchline.
Hope so.
This is from Reddit user QuietVoice4846. And let me say first and foremost, if you're going to get on Reddit and write a ghost story, you better have a creepy name.
Yep.
Do not come through with some normal shit.
I would agree. Do you know what subreddit you pulled this from?
QuietVoice69 or whatever. That's not scary.
Do you know what subreddit you pulled this from? r-nosleep?
I don't.
r-nosleep is where you want to go for ghost stories. I've spent hours reading r-nosleep.
What else goes in on r-nosleep?
Nothing.
It's just scary. Ghost stories?
Just scary stories.
It's not like people with, you know,
Insomnia
just complaining about their insomnia?
If their insomnia is from ghosts, then they would be on no sleep, yes.
Like, are there like crackheads in there? Like, I'm currently smoking crack and can't sleep?
If they're seeing ghosts.
Only if there's ghosts involved?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as there's paranormal activity involved, you can be an r-nosleep for sure.
Okay,
I went through a phase in my life, actually, where for like a month, the only thing I would watch / listen to on YouTube instead of podcasts or anything like that was people narrating r-nosleep stories onto a YouTube video. Don't know what was going on in my mind at the time, but...
Oh, hell nah.
That's what I really thought that I need, or really thought I needed at that time in my life. Very entertaining stuff.
These
also
Gen Z
very
kids,
fucked up.
Man, they watch hell of YouTube videos. They watch so many YouTube videos. This dude is on YouTube like 6 hours a day taking in fucking narrated essays and shit.
Yeah. I watch a lot of video essays, yeah. Like, that's what I watch in the shower instead of listening to music or something. I watch a video essay, like, on why Atlantis was a masterpiece of cinematic excellence that was swept under the rug by Disney or some shit like that.
Such a weird move. But still, whatever. Gen Z, do your thing. All right, I'm going to read mine. QuietVoice4846. Late at night, I usually go to the bathroom multiple times. But for the past 4 days, every time I go to leave, I can see myself still standing in the mirror from the corner of my eye. It's like the other me is watching me leave the bathroom. It terrifies me to the point where I almost run out without looking directly at the mirror. I never told my husband about it because I didn't want to acknowledge it out loud. Earlier today, I took a nap in our bed while he sat in the chair next to it watching TV. When I woke up, he told me that he had seen me sit up and crawl backward to the edge of the bed and stand up in front of our bedroom door from the corner of his eye. He thought it was weird that I got up like that because I'm in the last month of my pregnancy and I can't really move so well without it hurting, so he tried to talk to me. When I didn't answer, he looked at the door to find me not there and still sleeping in bed. I got really creeped out, and I finally told him about what I had been seeing in the bathroom. He thought it was creepy as well, but didn't want to talk about it anymore because he thinks it will give whatever it is power or energy. I have no idea what it wants or why we both saw it. One of the weird aspects of ghost stories, that's the end of the ghost story, is that people are afraid to acknowledge them or talk about them. Of fear that it'll make it more real. It's like the thing when you're in bed at night and you're terrified and you pull the covers over your head.
And you're like, if it just goes away.
If I can't see it.
It's not there.
It's not there. But like something about that with like, okay, if it was a physical presence, if a human being broke into your house, you wouldn't pull the covers over your head in an effort to stay safe. You would know this isn't going to work.
Yes.
But something with spirits or ghosts that makes us feel safer. Like you asked me this question in the car off camera, I believe it was, off mic before we started recording. Do you believe in ghosts? And the answer is not really for me. I don't believe that ghosts can interfere with my life.
Sure.
Let me put it that way. Or mess with my shit.
Okay.
So essentially, my belief is that if I pull the covers over my head, it doesn't even matter if they're real. They don't have the ability to fuck with me.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
If I can't see them, the only thing they can do
is fuck
is
with
make
your surroundings?
My presence, make their presence known through me seeing them.
Sure.
And that would be the only way it could impact me.
Sure, sure.
So if I can't see them, they have
matter.
No power.
Okay.
Right? But like realistically, if ghosts are a thing, pulling your covers over your head so that you don't know what they're doing is somehow even scarier. I don't know. It's just an odd thing that we believe. Like we're so superstitious about the way stuff like this works.
Yeah. I mean, I think ghost is a very loose term. I definitely think that there's some form of energy or something like that that is stuck between planes of existence or something. I don't really know, but like, I don't know. I feel like there's too much evidence to just completely discredit any opportunity of any sort of paranormal activity existing. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when I say I don't believe in ghosts, what I mean is I don't believe like the whole world is filled with fucking all of the ghosts
like tortured
of the dead
souls.
Just constantly
wandering
between this life and the next, trying to find whatever it is they're looking for, which it turns out is here's a nice piece of shit.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. Well, I meant from Billy Madison, but also that, sure.
Oh, 2020 is actually my ghost story.
Give me your ghost story.
We're just starting at January.
Give me your ghost story. And then I've been reminded of another creepy story
I'll
tell after your ghost story.
I still have the World Series up for some reason. Just playing news. Okay, we're going back to my ghost story. Here we go. Again, hope this is well for everybody.
So
I really put some time
and
effort into this.
You recalled the punchline?
I recalled how it ended.
Okay.
That's it. Like, I only recalled, like, what made this
scary.
And
you've crafted your version of it.
I remember kind of the basis of it, but I've crafted my version and tried to, like, perfect it in a way that I think will fit perfectly with the remainder of the story, as well as add some scare factor to it.
Perfectly splendid.
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
As ready as I'll ever be.
So back in the 1950s, there's a maximum security prison about a mile outside of the campus of the University of Chapel Hill, UNC, as most people know it as.
Ooh.
A beautiful, quaint, and some might even call sleepy little town at the time.
Ooh,
and the story goes that a distant relative of mine, her name was Caroline, was wrapping up a dream of a first semester with her roommate, Leslie.
You're a distant relative?
Yes.
Okay.
Who
used to tell you the story?
Huh?
Who used to tell you the story?
My grandpa.
Okay, cool.
Sorry. Oh, you're fine.
No more questions.
As Halloween and fall crept its way onto the campus, red leaves, crisp autumn air, and spooky decor covering every crevice of the school.
Hashtag spooky.
Caroline and Leslie took the festivity to heart, decorating their room properly for the holiday, including webs, plastic spiders, and a perfectly shaped bright orange pumpkin placed neatly on the chair in the corner of their room. Hallow's Eve had finally arrived. The girls begun their going out ritual, dropping the needle on their record player as they began getting ready for their evening of fall festivities, putting on their costumes and beginning the night with a little potion to shed the nerves of their first Halloween in college.
Is that alcohol?
Yes. The girls were finally ready just as the sun began to set, making their way onto the street, joining the masses as they made their way to Greek Row. The two-story symmetrical brick buildings begin to come into view. Orange leaves settled on the roof as the long white pillars seemed to cascade down the front of the house. All of the sudden, a loud alarm sounds, followed by a collective groan of the group from the group of upperclassmen behind her. Similar to those old air raid warnings, but not identical, it was a higher-pitched sound. Caroline realized that she had heard this sound before, once, at orientation. She remembered what her group leader had told them following this sound, realizing it might have been the only thing she took away from those 2 days of summer. If you hear this siren, it means a prisoner had escaped.
Oh.
Every short beep following tells you the class of prisoner and the coinciding danger level. One beep. Unarmed, not perceived dangerous, but be careful, but maintain normal activities. Two beeps,
like the horns in Game
could be armed, but a non-violent criminal. Stay where you are, wait for further instructions.
Three means white walkers.
Three beeps. Armed and considered dangerous. Return to your home immediately, lock the doors, await police assistance. Caroline listened for what followed the alarm. One beep, two, the third, and a fourth.
What?
A fourth beep, she thought. She had never been told what a fourth beep meant.
Oh, God.
She looked around to see the stunned faces of her peers, obviously not understanding the meaning of the final beep either. One tall, older-looking student, his stunned expression began to turn to fear as he began saying, "Go. Go now. We gotta know. Go now. Everybody go home." The crowd groaned, everyone turning around with content as a fun night of freedom was quickly crumbling. A group of freshmen behind Caroline began arguing with the older student, now obvious to be a member of one of the fraternities. A freshman boy really getting in his face, arguing for his case to enjoy his first Halloween in this new chapter of life. The frat boy quickly began shutting him up. The frat boy quickly shut him up with a right hook to the jaw and another yell to the group to get the fuck home. That was all Caroline and Leslie needed to push them quickly back towards their dorm room. Everyone seemed scared now, and that fear set into them as well, keeping their heads down and hands held tightly as they moved purposely back to their residence, not speaking a word until they re-entered their home. 30 minutes passed. Caroline and Leslie both sat on the bed. Nothing had been said since they realized none of them had the answers they were both looking for. What was the fourth beep? What was happening? Who had escaped? Why was the older boy so terrified? A knock on the door.
Oh, no.
A loud knock startles both of them, and Caroline gets up to see her RA through the peephole, unleashing the chain lock and opening the door. "Jess, what is happening?" says Caroline. "Just stay in your room with the door locked and window shut. There's been an escape at the prison. We haven't seen anyone this dangerous in 4 years. The police believe he fled the area, but we're going to stay locked down for the night to be safe." She looks past me at a distraught Leslie. "You girls should try to get sleep tonight. We'll have hot chocolate in the common area in the morning to recover from all this. Good night. Holler if you need me. Not sure how much sleep I'll get," she adds with an awkward chuckle. "Be safe, Jess," Caroline adds as she closes the door, standing with her back against it as she exhales deeply, taking the mutual fear contained in the gaze between her and Leslie. "We should just go to bed. We'll be fine. He can't even get into the dorm if he wanted." Leslie nods and pulls the covers over her as Caroline turns out the lights. "Good night," they both mutter as they drift off to sleep. Caroline wakes up. It's still dark out. Must be early morning. The events of the night before begin to trickle back into her mind. She peeks over at Leslie's bed, seeing the lump of her body under the covers. Immediately feeling the relief of seeing her best friend, she rolls back over and begins to drift back into the land beyond.
Oh no.
But something catches her eye. The pumpkin in the corner isn't right.
It's a corner
pumpkin. Too round, taller almost, and appeared to be floating?
Oh, no.
Yes, definitely floating. A foot or so above the chair. She squints her eyes, allowing them to adjust with the slight bit of yellow light trickling in from behind the blinds. No, not floating. A dark black figure begins to take place,
oh, no.
Sitting in the chair, holding the pumpkin, seemingly stroking it. Panic sets in as Caroline's heart falls to her stomach. She manages to croak out a near silent, "Leslie." No answer, no movement. She freaks out, ripping the covers off, screaming as loud as she can in an attempt to wake Leslie as she runs quickly out of the room, yanking the door open and running to the common area to see Jess setting up the tables for hot cocoa. Instantly seeing the panic from her face and jumping into big sister mode, Jess holds Caroline as she's crying hysterically, trying to get a story to form out of her mind. The police arrive shortly later. The only people they found in the room were Leslie's body underneath the covers and her head sitting perfectly upright on the chair in the corner.
Oh, sweet dick. It wasn't a pumpkin at all. It was her head. He cut off her head. That sucks.
How'd I do?
Well, Leslie didn't do so well.
No, Leslie didn't do very well at all.
Leslie lost her dome.
Caroline maintained the family line, though. Here we are.
Insert several Austin Powers losing your head jokes. I loved your ghost story, Christopher.
Thank you
for sharing it with us. I had an extra year of the comeback note. No tobacco products over 2 months. Let's fucking go.
Huge.
And then I wanted to share this creepy story and ask a question to start it. Have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
I personally have not, but I know what it is.
You're familiar with the comeback.
I am very, yes.
So one time when I was like, I don't know, like 12 years old probably, and I think I've told this story on this show before like hundreds of episodes ago, but I was sick. I had a fever. Right? And you know when you're a little kid, like fevers mess with you?
Yeah.
Did you ever have like a really wild fever dream? I specifically remember one where I was very sick. I had like over 100 degree fever and I was in bed in my bedroom and there was like a bunch of colorful shapes of like human shaped shapes on the ceiling, like moving all
okay.
around.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm being abducted by aliens or this fever is fucking with me. Like
yeah.
I specifically remember though, like I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to be seeing this shit.
Yeah.
So I was like out cold sleeping and I was in the guest room of my house for some reason. I can't remember why, but I wasn't sleeping in my bedroom.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was because we were having, like every once in a while, I would just sleep wherever for fun when you're a little kid.
When I got sick, I would sleep in the guest room too because it was like in a better spot.
See, this was right next to mine. It didn't really do anything for me positioning wise. I don't
know
if it was because we were having our foundation worked on and I had to be in another room or because it was a bigger bed and I was sick.
Yeah, my parents would put me in the guest room because it had a king. And when I was sick, they, you know, would let me
sleep in there. See, I think I had a twin still and this was a queen in there, I think. So I was in the guest room and I was out cold, like sleeping. And then suddenly I was all the way awake. There wasn't like a gap, right? There wasn't when you're groggy in the morning, like it takes me like an hour and a half to get going in the morning as an adult. This was like I was snapped awake, like when out of nowhere, as if in your sleep a very loud noise had occurred and
you
shook awake, right? But I could not move a muscle. And I mean a muscle.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do anything except move my eyeballs
to
look around the room. And I was flat on my back with my arms at my side and my legs out straight, like a fucking corpse.
Yeah.
Could not move.
Isn't it weird that's how you sleep when you're really sick? You just sleep like...
Because that's not how I sleep, bro.
Yeah, me neither.
At all. Like, yeah. Ever. Yeah. If I wake up and I'm sitting on my... And I'm on my back at all, I'm shocked.
You're
I'm
probably
like,
dead.
What the fuck is happening? Yeah. So I wake up. I can't move at all. I'm a little kid. I'm sick. I've got a fever. I'm clearly like, I don't know if this is real, if I'm having a dream. I still don't know if it was real or if it was a dream all the way or if it was full-blown sleep paralysis, really. But I woke up and then I like heard a noise. And the way this room was set up was like the bed was facing the door. And the door was open. And a woman that was not my mother, my mom is a blonde, this was like a slightly taller and brunette. And like, I couldn't really see her facial features.
Sure.
It was like a dark, shadowy, but long brunette hair and like scary, like almost like the Ring girl.
That was your sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah, and the thing starts coming towards me like super, super slowly. And the scariest part of sleep paralysis is that you can't scream.
Yeah.
You can't yell. You can't make a noise. So it's like you're doing like the side, like.
Yeah.
Help. You have nothing coming out, though. It's like so minimal that only you can hear it. And it's so fucking scary. And it's such a specific feeling that you never forget it. Like, yeah. That was like 20 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
And I still vividly remember, like, I obviously woke up or went back to sleep or snapped out of it or whatever happened, or she possessed me and I'm still living out the demon.
Wait, do you remember how far she got?
Woman.
Like, did she get, like, did you snap
all
out of it?
All I remember was
like...
I was so scared and trying to scream so hard and all I could get out was these little breaths or whatever.
Yeah.
And as she was, like, coming towards me, and then that's it. Like, I don't remember anything else.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's intense. See, I've always wanted to really get good at lucid dreaming because it's a practice that you can do over and over again. But to induce lucid dreaming, there's a high risk of going into sleep paralysis because
no
the idea is to put your body to sleep but keep your brain awake.
No, thank you.
And that's why I've never really tried it because I'm terrified of sleep paralysis.
You know what I'd like? Just regular ass sleep. You know what? Just a regular ass night of sleep. Like fucking 8 hours, just undisturbed, no... Bruce, like, deciding in the middle of the night that he wants to sleep on my forehead. No sleep paralysis demon approaching me from the door. None of that.
Just aliens shitting on your walls.
No aliens pissing all over the room, walls up from the middle of the room. Just none of that. No more of that. We've had enough of that. Regular ass sleep would do. Good stuff. Good creepy month stuff there to get us toward Halloween. Hope you all have a great Halloween this weekend, by the way. Stay safe in whatever you do. Get dressed. Put a costume on. This has been not the most fun year for any of us, with the exception of like a few billionaires. Just dress up. Dress up.
Send in your costumes. We want to see them.
Get a little weird. Yeah, and send Coles and I all the pictures of your costumes on Snapchat. Send us any pictures and videos you send us, whether it's trash license plates, your Halloween costumes, your Halloween celebration, you know, cart chaos, your puppies, your dogs, all your pictures of your cats and your pets. Keep those coming to us. I'm at WR Bolin on Snapchat. Coles, what are you on Snapchat one more time?
At Chris _ Coulson.
There you go.
C-O-U-L-S-O-N.
Keep those coming to us every day. We take the best stuff and we put it up on our Instagram story at the Ross Bolin Podcast on Instagram. And that will do it for our ghost story time with Ross and Chris. RBP 344 is also brought to you by Nutrafol. New sponsor alert. So everybody with hair issues, pay attention. This is for you, milady. 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you're among them, know you're not alone, and there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Thousands of women have taken back control of their hair with Nutrafol, with many users raving that the supplement not only transformed their hair, but restored their confidence too. Obviously, your hairline plays a great role in how confident you are about your looks. That applies not just to females, but males as well, obviously. Huge issue. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. More than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the 5 root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. Nutrafol is a physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use medical-grade botanicals and consistently effective dosage so you get the most reliable results. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using the promo code ROSS. New customers will get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere, plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Ross. Next segment. Checking in on the wide world of sports. Sports!
Sports!
Very important to check in on sports every week. Make sure sports are okay. A lot going on right now, obviously. Big UFC fights happened this past weekend. The retirement of Khabib, one of the UFC all-time great champions. Now his place in that all-time pantheon is up for debate. That is not my job. Not a UFC expert. Khabib seemed like a fun cat. Watched a few of his fights. Most notably against McGregor. Obviously, their rivalry was quite fun to enjoy over the years. And wish him well in whatever he does next. In baseball, the Rays and Dodgers World Series continues Tuesday night with the Dodgers up 3-2 in the series, looking for their first World Series pennant since, God, I don't even know when. It's been a while. I know that. Right? Chris, can you Google that? Speaking of which, while I tell you the answer to this question, do you know how the LA Dodgers got their name?
Draft dodging.
Incorrect. I will tell you why you Google to see when the last time the Dodgers won the World Series is. The Dodgers' official history reports that the team Trolley Dodgers, the term Trolley Dodgers, was attached to the Brooklyn Ball Club due to the complex maze of trolley cars that weaved its way through the borough of Brooklyn. In 1892, the city of Brooklyn was an independent city until annexed by New York City in 1898, began replacing its slow-moving horse-drawn trolley lines with the faster, more powerful electric trolley lines. Within less than 3 years, by the end of 1895, electric trolley accidents in Brooklyn had resulted in more than 130 deaths and
Good
maimed
God.
Well over 500 people maimed. Brooklyn's high profile, the significant number of widely reported accidents, and a trolley strike in early 1895 combined to create a strong association in the public's mind between Brooklyn and trolley dodging. Thus,
the Dodgers.
The Brooklyn Dodgers. And now, obviously,
bro,
they're
imagine
in Los Angeles.
If, like,
that's
like
how
imagine
they got their
if
name.
Like Bird scooters caused 130 deaths in 2 years and maimed 500 people. I don't think Bird scooters would be on the streets anymore.
No, but Bird scooters weren't built with taxpayer money.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
The trolleys definitely were.
Dodgers
when we built like a railway in downtown Houston.
Okay, like a light rail system.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Like a fucking 3-block one or some shit.
When a short
it was
train,
first
as
built,
you called it,
was like $7 billion, and it went like 400 yards.
Yeah.
And in the first year, it was smoking people.
No way.
Like smoking people.
Like were people in
cars. And shit.
Oh shit, really?
Nobody knew how the fucking thing worked or where it was. Like,
oh,
people
yeah,
would just
I'm...
be cruising along, get smooshed by the train.
I have no idea how trains work. They like move on the rails that go in the same direction every single time. You can look in
it's one way.
Or another
it's
and
pretty
see.
Straightforward.
Wow.
There's guardrails that drop down in front of it. This
Who would have thought?
That, though. This is not that. It's real confusing.
What? So Houston was just like, hey, we're just going to throw this shit down
basically,
right in the middle
yes.
of the city and we're not going to give anybody any warning. Like, you just got to risk it for the business.
Exactly.
Baby.
So, like, a few people had to die before anybody was like, okay, we should pay attention to the train. I'm serious.
Like, there's no crossing.
There's like some stuff, but it's not like when you pull up to a train
yeah.
and like the thing's like ding 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 ding.
What is it?
And drops
it has,
down the
it has
guard
like
rails
one,
and you
like,
can't go.
It's got like one little like yield sign on the side that's like, whoa, look both ways.
Yeah, it's a dude standing at the corner who goes, yo, watch out. That's
like,
the system.
Randy sits on the corner with a cigarette and a like
Mailman Randy.
Broken up cap. No, that's Gary.
Oh,
give
that's
him,
Gary.
Give him respect, Ross.
Who's Randy?
Randy was our Uber Eats driver that dropped the ball one time, or whatever that app we were using that one time.
Fucking Randy.
Yeah, he fucking left our sushi at the sushi restaurant and just left us out to
It
dry.
Could have been one of the any of the four that we have to use to get food here. Because
yeah.
none of them have all the restaurants anymore. They've all been parceled up to
yeah.
like...
It's like cable, remember?
You can't get like Subway from any of them, man.
Yeah.
You got to go specifically to the one that's paid Subway.
Yeah, you used to be able to just order Subway delivery paid. From the restaurant. This is like the evolution of cable as well. You used to just have
yep.
one cable box for everything. Just like you used to call the restaurant and make your freaking delivery. And then Uber Eats or whatever, or DoorDash or Postmates, whichever one did it first. They're like, hey, we can put all these on our app, right? Just like, I don't know, Apple TV was like, we can do all of this at once. And then everybody was like, wait. That's genius.
No, but now there's the exclusivity deals.
Like, and now now we got Peacock on one end, we got fucking Favor over here, and we got, you know, whatever, all the, you know what I mean.
I know
what
you mean.
It's just a shit show.
I know what you mean.
The Dodgers won a World Series last in 1988. Which isn't actually that long.
It's the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay, fair.
That's a long time.
Sure, sure.
For the Los Angeles Dodgers.
But they have six World Series titles.
Payroll.
They have six titles. That's a lot of titles.
I'm rooting for the Rays, if anyone was curious. Also, Rays' Randy Arozarena has now set the record for most hits in a single postseason.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And in the history of baseball.
And there's more games to go.
And he's 25 years old.
He's a freak.
And he's a rookie.
Wait, he's a rookie?
He's a rookie.
How do you get to be a rookie at 25?
Playing the
minors
for longer. Yeah. Or wherever. I don't know.
So he spent like, what, 3 years in the minors, and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, he's probably
good
enough. Oh,
I'm going to guess probably
5 years
than that. So I have no idea. Arozarena might have been a college guy.
Spends 5 years in the minors or whatever. Let's say max, 5 years in the minor. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we think he may be ready to go up to the league, and then hits the most postseason runs of all time.
Now I have to pull this up just because it might be like the total opposite of
unbelievable. That. They just pulled him off the streets.
So he has the MLB record for home runs in a single postseason with 9 already.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And now he has the record for most hits in a single postseason. And again, so he played in the Mexican leagues in 2016.
Okay.
In the Merida League, Norte de México League. That's how I speak Spanish. 14 years. And then he played with the St. Louis Cardinals. He signed with them as an international free agent in July 2016 for $1.25 million. Made his minor league debut in 2017. Spent his first full postseason or professional season with the Palm Beach Cardinals. Did well with them. Was named an all-star. Returned to the Mexican Pacific League after that for 2017-2018. So this is a guy who's been grinding. Then he played with the Memphis Redbirds in July 2018. He got selected to the 2018 All-Star Futures game. Spent time during the season with Springfield. Was with Memphis. I mean, he was all over the place. So 2019 season, he starts on the injured list with Memphis due to a fractured hand suffered during spring training. Returns after that, I guess he's back on the Cardinals. Gets promoted to make his major league debut on August 14th versus the Kansas City Royals. He played 19 games with the Cardinals, and then on January 9th of this year, he was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. So this is his rookie season. Over 23 games in the season, he batted .281 with 7 home runs and 11 RBIs. I'm pretty sure he's broken both of those stats in just the postseason alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the best hitting postseason in history. And he's a 25-year-old rookie.
I mean, the dude walks up with swagger and just yosses the ball.
Every single time he's come up, my text groups are like, why are they still throwing to this cat?
Yes.
Like, what is going on? Like, 3 games ago, they were like, I think it might... Joe Buck was like, seriously, at some point here... Might have been Joe Buck. I'm just going to credit Joe Buck. Somebody has to start treating him like he's like Barry Bonds during the 70 home run year. Like... You can't just keep throwing the baseball
at somebody
near
that's hitting
the plate
it like this
if he's going to continue to crush you.
Yes.
Like, he's been far and away the most dangerous player on their team. If they can pitch around Arozarena, they're pretty much not fucked. Like, the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. So I still haven't understood why they're throwing him the baseball, but he's used it to his advantage and set the record for most hits and home runs in a postseason ever. So this is including all of the baseball players you've ever heard of in your life ever. Ever. And it's not getting as much run as it should because he's on Tampa Bay. Nobody knows who he is. And I mean, other than people who are paying attention to the postseason, and it's 2020. It's a mess.
Well, and like, I feel like if people were in the stands too,
be a totally different thing.
Yeah. It would be, he'd become a fan favorite. Every time he'd step up to the plate, it would be over. But I mean, like, that type of atmosphere, you know, that gives you credibility on a national stage when you're only looking at
the replays are so much cooler when you're watching them and it's packed and everybody's either devastated because he just ruined the game or losing their minds because he hit a home run and won the game.
Well, think about all the, like, Cinderella story runs of players in which, like, the entire fan base gets behind him. There's, like, posters for him everywhere and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he becomes a household
name. Fatheads and shit in the stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it, which kind of sucks for him. Like, he's setting this amazing record with
maybe
nobody
also
there
part of
to
the reason
for.
He's able to do it.
Maybe.
Less pressure.
Actually, good mind.
They kept arguing out throughout the course of this Major League Baseball postseason that, especially for rookie pitchers, this was the best possible circumstances with nobody in the stands to put on that pressure. It's just like you're playing ball out back with the boys or whatever, just on a nice-ass field.
Yeah.
So rookies have been able to perform at a level previously unseen, basically, without fans in the stands. Arozarena being a rookie, perhaps it's been to his advantage at the plate. Who's to say, but an unbelievable run from him, and hopefully the Rays can take game 6 tonight and force a game 7. That would be incredible. In the NFL, biggest news, I guess, is like I don't know, Odell Beckham Jr. being... Nobody seems to really give a shit. Like, if you go look at the NFL headlines right now, they're pretty tame. Like, Jerry Jones is, like, the number one headline today for yelling at a radio host. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, OBJ got hurt because Baker Mayfield threw a pick.
Oh, man, the Ravens are signing Dez Bryant to their practice squad. That's the most depressing headline I've read in 2020
somehow. Dez Bryant still plays football?
I'd forgotten Dez Bryant existed.
I thought he retired.
Which is really sad. I think he had, which is why it's news, I think.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. OBJ is hurt, lost though. Again. The Browns' record is not trash, but to be clear, the Browns are trash.
Baker Mayfield is trash.
Baker Mayfield's awful. The Browns are not good. Cleveland, do not fool yourself into getting behind this team. I've seen this many times in Houston where we've had a record that didn't reflect the shittiness of our team. Do not fall victim to that scheme. Atlanta blew another game, now 1-6. Georgia, you're having a tough one.
Georgia.
The run continues for Georgia sports, and yeah, I don't know what to say. Y'all are in, what is it called? Put me in the jackbox. What is it?
What?
What's that phrase? In the jackpot. Your asses are in the jackpot now.
That is definitely, there's no way that's
I swear thing. That's a stupid thing.
But if you're in the jackpot, you're doing good.
Nope. Cowboys lost to football team 25-3.
Just one more thing on the Falcons real quick. That's the third game this season that they have blown with a 98% chance to win in the fourth quarter. 98%. All they had to do was survive, and they couldn't do it.
That's like a franchise thing, too. If you think it's like, oh, it's the coach, or it's this specific player, or it's Matt Ryan. No, no, no. It's just your franchise now. That's what y'all do. Just like we do in Houston, what we do, which is just suck all of the time. See, y'all are in a worse place where you build these leads and you feel like you should be good and win. We don't even fuck with that. We just get the shit kicked out of us every week. It's much easier. I still laugh every time I see football team. Like, I'll be watching Red Zone and what's-his-name pops up and is like, all right, football team is in the red zone now, driving on the Dallas Cowboys for the third time today. Cowboys have failed to put a point on the board, and I'm like, I don't even hear all the Cowboys funniness because I'm still focused on the fact that the franchise is called Washington Football Team. So when you're looking at the scoreboard and like your Yahoo Sports app and it's like Ravens, Saints, Cowboys, Football Team, Texans, which is also trash. What else do we have?
Better than football.
What are some of the worst NFL franchise names?
I mean, the Browns are pretty terrible. Like, they're named after a cover or a color.
The Browns, jerseys, generally that whole franchise is just built to be sad.
Yeah.
Just built to be sad.
I mean, the Giants is kind of a weird one, too. That's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's so classic at this point. Like, that's such a classic. New York Giants is such like a classic American sports brand.
Fair. The Chargers, especially in 2020, like, why would you want to be an iPhone charger? I don't know.
I got to say, Tampa Bay, great sports city right now, obviously.
Sure.
Some shitty weird teams and jerseys.
Like, you don't like the Bucks?
The Rays jerseys that they had on for the last game were some of the worst sports jerseys I've ever seen at any level.
Bro, I liked those Rays jerseys.
The Bucks are okay, but the Bucks still look like the team that Hollywood would come up with if they were doing a fake football team for a movie.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It's a pirate.
But that's kind of what the new Rams jerseys look like to me too.
A little bit.
Like, they're so corny.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Like, I enjoy that the Bucks jerseys have a history and tradition to them, you know? I wish they would bring back the creamsicles. The creamsicles were tight.
Those were sexy.
Those were fire. And the old logo, too. The old logo was sick, with the guy holding, the Buccaneer holding the knife in his mouth with the feather hat.
It blows my mind how many teams have incredible throwback logos that are so much better, like so far above where they're at now, and they just refuse to roll it back. Like, the Rockets are a great one. They can't even follow the Astros' lead. The Astros did this. They were like, we had dope jerseys in the fucking 90s. We're just going to grab those. What the hell happened to those?
Yeah.
And revamp.
That's like the one that I have, right? Like the
Yes.
Yeah, that one's sick.
Yes, those are
That's
incredible.
One of the coolest jerseys in the MLB.
The Rockets had incredible jerseys during their championship runs in the 90s too, but for whatever reason, when they decided to like look to those for inspiration, the jerseys they came up with were like ketchup and mustard McDonald's looking fucking jerseys, and it was just a disaster. And now I don't know. The Rockets jerseys are trash. But yeah, if you're if you own a sports franchise and you're listening, hey, look back in the old archives. You might have a jersey back there that's better than what you're looking at currently.
One thing I don't really understand is like with all the money that the NFL has, their jerseys could be so dope. Like, I remember when they first went to Nike in, like, 2016 or 15, whenever that was, from Reebok. And all these different artists were coming up with all these...
Wait, it was Reebok?
Yeah. All these different artists used to come, or were coming up with all these different renditions of, like, what these Nike jerseys could look like. And you can still look up and find what the renditions looked like. But, like, there were some super cool possibilities there, man. Like, they could have made all these NFL teams look dope as hell.
I'm trying to find info on the Reebok NFL jerseys.
What? They were just trash. Like, repetitively trash.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
Reebok,
looking. These
bro.
Aren't great.
And they were baggy, and like they were shiny, and they were gross. They were just really gross. It's a good thing they switched to Nike. But
pull
I'm just
from
saying,
the archives, people.
NFL teams could do way better jersey design wise.
Pull from the archives. All it's not just the NFL. I promise you, it's all sports.
Well, that's
it's so
that's,
bizarre. It's like for whatever reason, a place where they struggle way more than they should. I don't know if it's that like all the good graphic designers are off making podcast logos or what, but it's a mess. I tweet about betting on sports a lot, so people are constantly asking me, Ross, who do I bet on tonight? And I say, look, I don't even have a clue on who you should bet on, but I know where you should bet. Because where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to visit our sports betting sponsor, MyBookie. They've got deposit matches, free bets, huge cash prize contests for you to take advantage of all season long. NFL action check, college ball check, plus they have a mobile-friendly website and top-of-the-line customer service, making their platform a one-stop shop for all your betting needs. MyBookie offers action on everything from championship futures to NFL in-game live betting, which is my favorite, honestly, thing about sports betting in general. Live game, in-game betting is the best thing ever. Love it much more than the lines you get before the game. And they make sure you're covered every step of the way at MyBookie. Sign up at MyBookie today, and when you do, use our promo code RBP to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code RBP for you to claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. Stipulations apply. MyBookie's got everything stacked. UFC cards, presidential prop bets, all the major sports and more await you now. Sign up today. Begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.ag with the code RBP. Next and final segment, Chris watched Lord of the Rings for the first time.
Aye.
So Lord of the Rings is undoubtedly one of the best and most influential movie franchises to be born during my lifetime. I don't care if nothing compares to the Star Wars madness that occurred when those first came out or whatever. This is the most comparable thing in my lifetime to, like, Star Wars in terms of the hype, the amount of billions of dollars they made off the franchise, the fact that it extended into a second trilogy. It's the most comparable far and away. I am a huge, huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan. I read, like, you know, The Hobbit and shit when I was a little kid. I don't think I ever read the full book series. But I've seen the original trilogy probably 15 times. I saw every single one of them, like, on opening weekend in the movie theaters. It would, like, me and all my boys would go. I've seen the newer trilogy a few times, too. I can't wait for the Amazon series coming up whenever that eventually is done and drops. We'll definitely be covering that on our TV and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever you listen to RBP. But I'm a huge, huge Lord of the Rings stan, admittedly, and, like, a giant closet dork just through and through. So the fact that you had never watched Lord of the Rings was mind-blowing to me.
So one thing I realized...
And my co-host of OCC, Barrett Dudley, has also not watched Lord of the Rings, which
really?
Is even more mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, that's bizarre to me because he...
I thought he was in the theater with me and shit.
Well, like, Lord of the Rings came out in 2002, so I was three. So, like, that's
the
shocking
OG
to me. The OG, yeah. So that's
2001.
2001, so I was two. Or, yeah, two.
You were 2 years old in 2001?
Yes.
Holy God.
And 1 year old in 2000, 0 years old in 1999.
Let's just keep doing the math here.
I was 3 years old in 2002.
There we go. Okay.
But anyways, so that's shocking to me that Barrett hasn't seen it. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate for this review, but I wish I... Well, one, I realized that I've seen more of the movie than I thought I had seen. So like when I was rewatching it, because like I'd
like
seen
on
it
TV
on,
and
like
shit.
On TV and stuff like that. Like enough
man,
of it
see,
made.
You couldn't have been in a worse spot.
Yeah, like I've seen a lot of it before. So it was like first, it was kind of hard for me to get locked back in once I realized I'd seen more of it than I thought. Like,
did you pay this movie the amount of respect it deserved? Like, what were you watching? Your viewing circumstances?
On a TV in my room.
Alone?
Yeah, alone.
Okay.
I watched it.
You were on your phone
in.
The whole time?
No, I
you didn't
watched
even care
it.
About Frodo and Sam's struggle?
I did.
Okay,
I did
continue.
Care.
Continue
I cared.
Your review.
I wish I had seen this fully before I had seen Game of Thrones. Because after seeing Game of Thrones, I wanted it to continue to get darker. And once I realized about 45
you wanted Lord of the Rings to be adult.
Like gritty, dark.
Wanted to see boobs, like have people's heads getting ripped off and like somebody, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted Littlefinger given like a 2 minute like monologue over two hookers banging each other.
Okay, not necessarily like the gratuitous sex that was involved in Game of Thrones,
chaos,
but definitely like a little bit more realistic, grittier approach. Well, because when you watch the intro to it...
What did you want, Frodo shooting smack?
I don't know, bro. I'm just saying, at the intro of it, you see like this... You see the evil dude come out, like... And he looked menacing as hell.
You talking about
you
Sauron?
You see a bunch of people die all, right off the
dude?
Bat.
Yeah. It's not Harry Potter. You could say his name.
Yeah, okay, good point.
Sauron.
Sauron, yeah. You see Sauron come out. You see him doing damage, dude. He is literally slaughtering people left and right first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, he's like five times bigger than everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair.
Literally destroying everyone. And so when they set that sort of tone, I'm like, oh, shit, here we go, baby. And then immediately,
it falls into
the next like 45 minutes you spend with in the Hobbit village.
Yeah, that's like the next 20 minutes. And you're like, well, this is fucking not scary at all.
Yeah.
And Gandalf shows up and he's like, I got fireworks.
Yeah.
And it's just a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive
literal party for Bilbo.
Then guy goes invisible.
But then Bilbo slips on the one ring to rule them all, goes invisible, sneaks back to the crib.
And gets freaky.
Got a scam going. He's going to bounce.
Well, he gets
doesn't
real
want
freaky
anybody
with
to
the
know.
Ring. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. He doesn't
want
to give it up.
He's sexually attracted to it.
He's like, put it in this envelope. And he's like, it's
around my cock. I can't take it off.
Freaks out for a second. And Gandalf's like, all right, I guess I got to throw down. I'm going to do some magic here. I am not trying to. Let's just walk through the whole movie. It'll just take a few minutes.
Sure,
it's
sure,
fine.
Sure. Sure, and then Bilbo is like super scared. He starts crying. He like
this
gives
was
the
a
ring
huge
up right off the bat.
Okay,
and, like,
but seriously, this was a huge part of when you told me you would watch. You and I kind of talked about like, how Game of Thrones. It's almost like without Lord of the Rings,
there wouldn't have been Game
my
of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. It wouldn't hit the same for me. Like Lord of the Rings almost prepared me for Game of Thrones.
Okay,
and
Lord
I mean
of
the
Rings?
Movies specifically, not the books.
Lord
Not
of the
manuals.
Rings is, I would say, the perfect encapsulation of what the fantasy genre should be in a movie. The issue is, I have now had a taste of this darker, grittier fantasy that has a realistic tone to it that makes even the fantasy elements seem like they have lots of weight to them.
More real, because you're doing normal people. It's the, yeah.
You have the politics
boobs.
Involved as well. Well, also, when you're looking at a show that runs for 6 seasons, like, the emotional investment there is...
8 seasons.
Well, 8 seasons, but, like, the last two were...
Some people just want to pretend it was 6, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say Dexter was 4 seasons.
Yeah. I just kind of forget they exist. Yeah. Also, the last two were, like, significantly short, regardless.
Sure, sure.
After, like, the emotional
six
weight that
seasons.
Existed in Game of Thrones, I wanted to have that same emotional weight in Lord of the Rings, and, like, it just never quite came for me. And so I felt more that I was along for the ride instead of being in the story. Like,
sure.
Game of Thrones, for me,
I mean,
like,
it's a different
sucks
ball
you
game,
in.
Though, because you're, all right, like, it's I understand that Game of Thrones, for you, since you obviously watched it first, set this ridiculous precedent for fantasy genre.
Yes.
But it's still, like, it's hard to compare, because Game of Thrones had, you know, what, 100 hours to develop
exactly,
the story?
Exactly.
It's tougher in, I guess they probably had, what, 15 hours or something when it all was all said and done? But a couple, few hours per movie.
Yes.
And I don't know. Lord of the Rings, I can't pick a, like, that's why I point to Star Wars as, like, a comparable. Star Wars didn't have a lot of weight to it, right? I mean, it was pretty shallow from a character-driven standpoint. So that's what I had to compare it to.
Okay, fair.
So it was like such a big jump forward from the other epic series, epic trilogies in my mind.
Yeah.
That it was a big, it was huge. It was so different in scope. And then Game of Thrones like built upon that and then took it to television instead of being a movie. And it was just a whole different ball game. And obviously they went full nudity and sex and gratuitous of both of those, which I loved. But it's just such a like, this is the thing you got to remember about Lord of the Rings. Little teenagers were going to see it with their families.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, everybody could go watch these with anybody. As I've spoken to recently on Twitch, if you watched Game of Thrones with your parents, you can watch anything with your parents. I watched Borat 2 with my mom on Saturday, and a lot of people were like, that's crazy. How could you watch Borat 2 with your mom? And I'm like, bro, I watched Game of Thrones with my mom.
Yeah.
Do you have... me and my mom can go watch like two pigs dressed as the king and queen of France having sex now and not be uncomfortable. That's a reference to a very random Chris Farley movie called Almost Heroes. We wouldn't be uncomfortable. There's no circumstance in terms of entertainment that could make me and my mother uncomfortable. We're not going to go watch a donkey show or anything like that. But I'm just saying, if we had to, I think we could get through it as mother and son. When it comes to like, what's a donkey show?
Yeah.
You really don't know what a donkey show is? Mm. I don't think I can tell you then. I think you have to keep going. It's like how I can't tie a tie.
I'm Googling.
You have to go through the rest. Don't Google it, Chris.
What?
Don't do that, Chris. This is way worse than Googling female face mask or whatever female mask dress the other
live
week.
Sex show in which a woman in get never mind.
Ellen, that's a thing now, you know.
Well,
sorry, Diane.
Only in Tijuana.
You got the kid through 21 years and he didn't know what a donkey show was, and in one fell swoop I've taken that from you as a parent.
And there goes the rest of my childhood innocence.
And for that, I apologize. Before we take on the world today, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, you've been saddled with three legal obligations as a result of having listened to this entire podcast, the first of which is to rate and review this show. Give us 5 stars, write 2 or 3 sentences about how you enjoy the episodes, why you enjoy the podcast, and you are done. You can check that box and move on to your second legal ob, which is to tell one person, any one human being, about this podcast this week. It could be a friend. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. It could be your mailman, Gary. It could be a neighbor. Tell any one individual. It could be a doctor. You could be getting a colonoscopy. Just look back over your shoulder and say, hey, doc, you should listen to the Ross Boland podcast. And then just go back about to doing your thing, clenching your cheeks, whatever it is you got going on. Share the show with one person, though, then you can check that box and move on to your third and final legal obligation, which is to use our sponsor codes, hit up our sponsor URLs, support our sponsors who support us and keep us in business. Of course, at the top of the show, you heard from Blue Chew. Go to BlueChew.com, use the promo code RBP. Then you heard from Nutrafol. Go to Nutrafol.com, use the promo code Ross. And of course, mybookie.ag, promo code RBP there as well to do all your sports betting. Those are your three legal obligations. Check all three boxes. I'll call off the dogs. We don't have to see each other in court. We can all live long and prosper. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Instagram at the Ross Boland Podcast, where, as I said earlier in the show, every day we fill up our story, our Instagram story, with photos and videos sent in by our listenership, affectionately known as the RBP Gang. Chris and I collect most of those photos and videos through Snapchat. My Snapchat, again, is at WR Boland, and Chris is at Chris_Coulson. That's Coulson.
Huge.
I remembered it for the first time ever just now.
Proud of you.
We're also on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod, and you can find us on Facebook.com/Ross Boland Podcast. If you're looking for my specific personal social medias to follow me, Ross Boland, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, you just follow at WRBOLEN, at WRBoland. And as I also spoke to earlier, we are live on Twitch a few times a week playing Warzone, Call of Duty Zombies, Fall Guys, Among Us. We worked in some Apex Legends for the first time in 6 months last night and won our first game.
First game back,
never
baby.
Never before done. Twitch.tv/BossRoll. And Chris, where can everybody follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisSC99. You can find me on Twitter at Q0ULS. And like Ross said earlier, you can find me on Snapchat at Chris_Coulson. And I will currently be booking my ticket to Tijuana to see the next donkey show.
There you go. Check out Boland Media's television film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever RBP is available. We have general entertainment, TV, and film talk every week. Plus, right now, we're covering Yellowstone Season 2, Fargo Season 4, and more. OCC, available wherever you listen to RBP. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, formerly the number one Game of Thrones podcast in the world. And that will do it for RBP 343, produced by Mariah Gossett and Mike Moody Garcia of Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will be back on Monday with RBP 345. And of course, before that, we'll be back this Friday in just a couple short days on patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast with another exclusive premium ad-free edition of this very podcast for dues-paying members of the RBP Gang pledging their monthly support to keep the podcast showing and growing. Minimum of just $5 monthly on patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast. Come through, support the show, get more RBP. Some of the best episodes we have ever done are on Patreon, and just short of 1,000 people currently have the ability to listen to those, which is a very small percentage of our audience. More of you need to get in there and enjoy these ad-free episodes of RBP every Friday. Patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast. You are not alone. Podmen get paid. Respect Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Cole, say it.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Go low, baby.